Blog Talk Radio.
Yeah, we back up in this thing. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to Monday's edition of All Subjects Everything. I'm your host, Chris Stevens. Hopefully you've had a fantastic 10 days since we last spoke. If this is your first time tuning in, All Subjects Everything is an internet interactive radio show. When we are live on the air, you can call in with a question or comment at 661-554-9194. You can also check us out in the Blog Talk Radio Network chat room, as you and my esteemed listeners like to do from time to time. Or if you happen to follow along via Twitter machine, just use the All Subjects Everything hashtag. And remember, when you can't catch us live, we're available on iTunes. You can go to the iTunes store, search for All Subjects Everything under podcast, download the shows for free. While you're there on the show page, rate us from 1 star to 5 stars, write a little review, let us know what you like, what you don't like, what you'd like to hear and see in future shows, and we'll do our very best to accommodate you. And for you smartphone users, All Subjects Everything is available on the Stitcher mobile app. And download Stitcher to your smartphone, search for All Subjects Everything there, take us with you in the car, the gym, the office, wherever you want to get in on the conversation. And don't forget to like our Facebook page, facebook.com/allsubjectseverything. There you will find show links, news and updates as to what we're working on. And soon we'll be rolling out questions and poll topics that you guys can talk about amongst yourselves. We'll jump in every once in a while, and that will help us to develop a better show. So, yeah, March is here, middle of March, just about. And it's the most fun 3 weeks of any college basketball fan can think of, and that would be the men's basketball tournament. The brackets were released yesterday or leaked yesterday while CBS was trying to put on this great big production of a selection show, and the brackets had already been dropped by the NCAA a few hours earlier. Well, not a few hours earlier, but like as the show was going on. And it was pretty awkward. Because, you know, when you get guys, you know, that don't really watch a lot of college basketball, shouts out to Charles Barkley and Kenny Smith, that, you know, they seem out of place. They're just trying to get by on personality. When the guys like Kellogg, Doug Gottlieb, and Seth Davis, who actually have watched the games this year, seem to be overshadowed. So that was CBS's first mistake, was to bring in Charles and Kenny and EJ all early and not let the guys, you know, who actually get paid to talk about college basketball, do just that. But it'll still be an interesting, it'll make for an interesting in-studio show, like during the actual tournament. So, you know, other than that, it really wasn't that big of a loss for CBS and Turner, who were, you know, in concert during the NCAA tournament. In fact, this is going to be the first time since 1981 that the national championship game is not on CBS. Because TBS will be doing it this year, which is kind of weird. Because that means for the duration of my lifetime, I was born in 81, like in the fall of 81. So the only thing I've ever known in my lifetime of watching college basketball is that the national championship game was going to be on CBS. Now I'm expected to switch to TBS. And, of course, with the tournament, you know, being, you know, spread out through 4 or 5 days, I'm expected to remember what channel True TV is. Don't have no idea what True TV is. But every year during the NCAA tournament, I'm expected to remember that. So now I'm just like, okay, let me find True TV. And this year will be no different. But we'll start, you know, let's start breaking down the brackets, and we'll start with the number one overall seed, which is Kansas, and they are the number one seed in the South region. And their road to the Final Four, you know, is kind of hilarious because, for once, Villanova is not the best team in their own bracket, which makes a lot of sense because Nova is one of those teams that has a great regular season and never gets to play in the NCAA tournament. So Kansas will face the Cinderella story of Austin Peay out of the Ohio Valley Conference, and they'll likely get the winner of Colorado or Connecticut, which could be a trap game early on. We're not even getting to the regional semis, which will be in Louisville starting on the 26th. But when you look at it like this, Kansas has, you know, I mean, Austin Peay, the great story, you know, came from the depths of the OVC, have a the coach's daughter is fighting cancer. They've all rallied around her. It's a beautiful story. But it's gonna come to an end, you know, when they get Kansas on Friday. I mean, I hate to be that guy, but it is what it is. Actually, Thursday, pardon me. But Connecticut, meanwhile, seems to be on another one of those stretches from 2014 and 2011 where they just happen to, you know, play the best basketball of anybody at the most important time of the year. If you missed it, they had a 4-overtime game in the American Athletic Conference quarterfinals against Cincinnati, where a kid hit a three-quarter court buzzer beater to force the fourth overtime with literally less than a second to go. Just one of the weirdest, you know, funniest games of the year, probably the game of the year, I would say. And they went on to win the whole American Athletic Conference tournament. And this is nothing new for Connecticut. Remember, 2011, they really had to win the Big East tournament to even make the big dance, and they did, and they ended up winning the championship. 2014, they were struggling in Kevin Ollie's first full season. They jump up, you know, win the last Big East tournament. No, I don't think that was the last Big East tournament. I could be wrong. I think that was the first AAC tournament they won. And then, of course, they just went through and beat a ridiculously good Kentucky team in the national championship game. So this is what, you know, Connecticut does. So if I were Kansas, I'd be very worried. And even if they get past Connecticut, they've got a tough 4-5 game, you know, to be watching out for, and that's Maryland versus California. Maryland, of course, has Melo Trimble, Rashid Suleiman, Diamond Stone, California, who I don't know much about, but everybody's picking them as a sleeper. So I'm really interested to see that that Cal-Maryland game and see how, you know, Kansas will match up with either one of those two teams. Lower half of the bracket, a little, you know, more defined. Like, if Villanova can't get to the Elite Eight, and then Jay Wright just needs to, you know, cut his losses and go find another coaching job. They've got UNC Asheville out of the CAA, which really isn't, you know, anybody worth mentioning. Then you've got, they'll either get Iowa, which is a really tough Big Ten squad, or they'll get their Big Five rivals, Temple. I think the committee just wanted to get, you know, Philly out of here early, regardless. They just wanted to get Philly out of here regardless. So, you know, that would be an interesting second-round matchup. And if they get all the way through to the Sweet 16, they'll either get Miami or Arizona or Wichita State. Wichita State's another one. You know, they come out of nowhere every single year to either get to the Sweet 16 or the Elite Eight. A few years ago, their case was the Final Four. So this isn't an easy bracket for Kansas. I mean, and Kansas and Villanova are two of the biggest repeat offenders, mind you, of teams that, you know, have all this talent, have all this potential, have great regular seasons, and then flop in the NCAA tournament. And so these two teams, you know, it'll be fitting that, you know, if they, you know, actually win their games, they'll be on a collision course in the regional championship game in Louisville on Saturday, March 26th. Like it's just set up like that. I mean, it is what it is. I mean, it's just, you know, the beauty of this region is that, you know, whoever wins this region is probably going to have earned it, regardless if it's Kansas, if it's Nova, if it's Maryland, if it is Miami or Florida, this is a very tough region. We move down to the West region, and Oregon is the surprise number one. They'll get the winner of the Holy Cross Southern first-round game, which will be played tomorrow in Dayton, Ohio, rooting for Southern because, of course, you know, Black College Pride around here. But the game, but St. Joe's really could be the sleeper in this entire region. Phil Martelli has 6'10", 6'11", guys that can actually shoot from the outside. And in college, those things are at a premium. And Cincinnati has to kind of come back from the depths of, you know, blowing a 4-overtime game against Connecticut. And I think St. Joe's wins that game. They're just a better team all around. But Oregon, you know, once they get past either Holy Cross or Southern, should really take St. Joe's seriously, because St. Joe's is a team that could, you know, coached by the irascible Phil Martelli, just can jump up and bite you whenever they get good and ready. And the thing, a couple years ago, everybody wanted to be a fire. Now he's back, got them back in the tournament. Duke is a 4 seed, which I really was surprised that they, you know, didn't get a 3 or 2, but they've got UNC Wilmington, and that game in itself is another upset you should watch out for, because UNC Wilmington is a very, very good team. And the controversy of this bracket is Texas A&M is a 3 seed. And, of course, John Calipari went off on the ESPN selection special last night, you know, talking about, you know, the brackets were already picked before we even played Texas A&M. Like, didn't we just play a game? He's right. A&M lost to Kentucky in the SEC title game, so you would figure that Kentucky would have a higher seed because they actually won the conference. We'll get more into the committee's foolishness a little later on, but that, yeah. A&M gets Wisconsin-Green Bay, the Horizon League winner. Oregon State versus Virginia Commonwealth is the 7-10, and Oklahoma, led by Player of the Year Buddy Hield, I'm calling it now, will get California State Bakersfield, who won their conference tournament on a buzzer beater. So, the South region, to me, really depends. I mean, the West region, pardon me, really depends on how good Oregon is. Because if Oregon loses to St. Joe's or Cincinnati, then all bets are off for the rest of it. Because, I mean, Oklahoma could do it, VCU could do it, even without Shaka Smart, or Texas with Shaka Smart, mind you, Texas and Virginia Commonwealth, if VCU was able to knock off Oklahoma and Texas beats A&M, they would be meeting in the Sweet 16 in Anaheim on the 24th. And that would be pretty funny for Shaka Smart to be going up against the school that made him famous, and against, you know, and VCU would be going up against the coach that arguably made them famous. That would be a fun, fun matchup to watch. But it all is all on Oregon. I mean, they won the Pac-12, pardon me. It's no longer a Pac-10, it's a Pac-12. So they won the Pac-12, and You know, everybody talks about, you know, we don't get the chance to see the West Coast teams a lot, and they're right, because a lot of us are in bed sleep. So we'll get to see how good Oregon is in short order, because they'll beat Holy Cross or Southern, and, you know, St. Joe's or Cincinnati will be a nice test for them, and then they'll either get Duke or Baylor or UNC Wilmington, because I don't think Yale, even though this is their first NCAA tournament appearance in 54 years, I don't think they're going to the Sweet 16. Nice story, but not going to the Sweet 16. And then, of course, the lower half of that bracket, you know, we just discussed the Texas A&M, VCU, Oregon State with Gary Payton II, and, of course, Oklahoma. So as Oregon goes, so goes the West bracket. I don't have a prediction for that one yet. I'll go ahead and tell you that I think Kansas actually does go ahead and see this through, but it really wouldn't surprise me if Maryland won the South bracket. That's my sleeper pick, you know, for the whole tournament is Maryland. Like, I really like Bello Trimbo. I like that Rasheed Suleiman has gotten his act together. Diamond Stone has, you know, improved as a post player as the season has progressed. All Maryland got to do is just show up, man. Show up, play their game, and they could be in there. Moving over to the East, Eastern bracket, which, of course, the Sweet 16, the regional semifinals and finals will be held just up the road from me in Philadelphia, PA, and the top seed in that bracket is everyone's odds-on favorite to win the whole shebang and bang, and that's North Carolina. Carolina is an interesting team in that Roy Williams has got a team that loves to push the ball. You know, with Marcus Page, Bryce Johnson, and those guys. But they were able to, you know, win Virginia's slowdown game, win against Virginia's slowdown game in the ACC championship game. So Carolina can beat you a multitude of ways, but it really all depends on if Marcus Page's shot is fixed. Because Marcus Page has struggled with his jump shot in recent weeks. If he can come out firing and make those shots, Carolina's pretty much unbeatable. If he struggles, then they can be had. I don't think Florida Gulf Coast or Fairleigh Dickinson is going to be the school to knock them off. And I really wouldn't worry too much about USC or Providence. Maybe Carolina, you know, will get a challenge when they get to the Sweet 16 in Philly, and they will probably play Kentucky, which, of course, we just discussed because John Calipari just fired up every member of the selection committee for Kentucky being an SEC champ at 26-8, being a number four. But Kentucky has to watch out for Stony Brook, you know, the America East champ led by Jameel Warney, who scored 43 points to grab 9 rebounds in the AEC championship game. And mind you, Stony Brook, this is their first ever appearance in the NCAA tournament. And they're not a, you know, a scrub school. And Warney, meanwhile, he's kind of like a Elton Brand type, you know, undersized center, power forward, can hit the outside shot, ferocious on the boards, you know, great footwork down low. He's also got something else going for him. He's a huge fan of Mark Morrison and Return of the Mac. That's who he tweets before every game. Every game. You got to go to his Twitter account. It's Full Course Meals with a Z. M-E-E-L-Z. Full Course, you know how to spell Full Course, I would hope you do. And then Meals, M-E-E-L-Z. And before every game, Jameel Warney tweets that he's doing it for Mark Morrison, the proprietor of one of the greatest hits in music history, which should be the national anthem, Return of the Mac. So Kentucky's got to watch out for Return of the Mac, though. Got to watch out for Return of the Mac. Because when you've got a song and a man, when you got a man who creates the song on your side, because Morrison favored a couple of Jameel's tweets the day Stony Brook won the America East, when you've got the man and the Mac on your side, it's really hard to lose. So John Calipari should stop worrying about, you know, the committee and watch Jameel Warney's flow, because you know that he'll be back. Here I go! Other interesting matchups in the East region, they include West Virginia versus Wisconsin, potentially in the second round, Xavier getting the number two seed in that bracket. And I actually had Xavier in my Final Four, but that can't be because I had North Carolina in my Final Four. So, but the lower half of that bracket, you know, Notre Dame can really go through because Mike Bray always has his guys ready. You know, West Virginia with Bob Huggins, you know, they had a pretty good year. And Wisconsin had, you know, made the tournament in spite of, you know, the whole Bo Ryan controversy. And, of course, they made it all the way to the national championship game last year. So time will tell how, you know, the East pans out. But Carolina, if they can get past, you know, Providence, if they can get past, you know, Kentucky or Indiana, I think they win the whole thing. Because there's nobody else on that bracket other than Notre Dame that could possibly give them a good game. Xavier, maybe. But as tough as this bracket looks for North Carolina, it's very manageable with the talent level they have. It's very, very manageable. Final bracket, the Midwest bracket, and Virginia, the number one, which pissed off a lot of Michigan State fans, and rightfully so. They will get the winner of the MEAC at number 16, Hampton. Now, mind you, I'm a Delaware State University alum. It's in my bloodline to hate Hampton. It's just, I mean, for us to be separated by a good, you know, 200 miles, Delaware State and Hampton have quite the basketball and football rivalry. I don't know why that is, especially since UMBS is a lot closer. But, probably because UMBS doesn't have a football team for one, but, you know, DSU and Hampton kind of sort of have this natural beef. It's always been that way. Always been that way. But, of course, as always, I'm rooting for the best interests of the underdog and the black college basketball team. I don't know if, you know, Hampton has the horses to hang with Virginia. They've got the guard play. They've definitely got the guard play. But it's going to be interesting to see how their bigs match up with Virginia's bigs. Not calling that a 16-1 upset because we haven't had one in the 31 years of the 1 versus 16 matchup. But maybe this will be the year. But even if it's not, Virginia has a tough road to get to the Midwest Regional Championship in Chicago. They've got, you know, they'll either get Texas Tech or Butler, you know, in the round of 32, and in the Sweet 16, they're looking at Purdue or Iowa State, or even Arkansas Little Rock, teams that can, you know, jump up and bite you. And in the lower half of that bracket, though, Michigan State, you know, they don't have a team that could potentially, you know, knock them out. Middle Tennessee State, no. Dayton, no. Syracuse, who doesn't even belong in the dance, you know, won't beat Michigan State. Utah maybe. Seton Hall's an interesting team to watch, especially, you know, Gonzaga as well. The Gonzaga-Seton Hall matchup is going to be one of the first round to watch, I'm telling you. Other than that, Michigan State and Virginia, are on a collision course for the Midwest Regional Championship in Chicago. And it's still, I mean, it's not, I mean, it's really not that Michigan State has to go that far, I don't think. I mean, you know, St. Louis from East Lansing doesn't seem like a long drive. I mean, doesn't seem like, you know, a long flight. And I don't think I think East Lansing to Chicago would pretty much be a drive. We'd get on a bus and go. And so, I don't think, you know, the committee got it right in giving Virginia the number one and Michigan State the number two. But I think Michigan State is going to correct that because I think Michigan State is going to break their feet off of Virginia's butt on the 27th. Like, I honestly believe that. So the beautiful thing about, you know, the NCAA tournament now is that, you know, even if you have a job, you know, that you have to go to work, or if you work from home like me, you can watch this bad boy online. So you can get, you know, just about every game, you know, if you just go to the NCAA website, and you'll be able to see, you know, what's going on, you know, with your alma mater or your favorite team or the teams in your bracket, because the brackets are always a fun thing to fill out. Which reminds me, I am doing the All Subjects Everything Bracket Challenge. Fifth year in a row, All Subjects Everything Bracket Challenge. Don't know if I'm going to be able to give out prizes yet, but you'll still want to get in on this. If you want to get in, at me on Twitter, at CJStarchild, StarChild. Or you can find my email, or you can email me, CHRIS.STEVENS2007@gmail.com, and just, you know, title All Subjects Everything Bracket Challenge. I do it through Yahoo's bracket, you know, group. And in the past, I've given out gift cards. This year, I might try to give out one or two of my books. Haven't decided yet. But the bracket challenge is always fun. And I've got about, you know, 8 or 9 people ready to sign up already. So if you want to get in before the brackets drop, I mean, before the brackets become official on Thursday, you'll definitely, on Thursday morning, you'll definitely want to holler at me. So, yeah, we're doing the bracket challenge this year. No, not sure if we're going to be any prizes. It might just be for bragging rights, but, you know, or I may just surprise you guys and end up giving away something. I'll figure it out as we go. But you'll definitely want to get in on the All Subjects Everything Bracket Challenge. So, my final four picks, I'm going to go ahead and make them now. I'm going to try to, you know, because I said I wasn't sure about the West, but I'm going to try to do it. For the South, I like Kansas. For the West, give me Oklahoma. Out of the East, North Carolina. And the Midwest, Michigan State. So, yes, I have 3 of the 4 number one seeds going. I mean, I have 2 number one seeds going, and I have 2 number twos going. Of course, it could be all wrong, and then we have, like, a 6, an 8, a 12, and a 4, or something like that. But that's the beauty of the NCAA tournament. You never know what's coming. You never know, you know, what to expect. And it's just fun to watch. It's fun. You know, it gets us out of the monotony of winter, you know, spring, I mean, the weather tends to break a little bit, but it's still not nice enough to go abandoning television. So you get to watch the NCAA tournament, you know, with the window cracked, so to speak. So that's my Final Four pick. I don't have a national championship pick yet, but we'll be talking about the tournament every day as it goes on. So there's really no sense in, you know, going off the deep end about it. But you'll definitely want to get in on all subjects, everything bracket challenge again. You can find me on Twitter at CJ Starchild, or you can email me chris.steven@2070gmail.com, and let's get it cracking. That being said, ladies and gentlemen, thank you for tuning in to this edition of All Subjects Everything. Greatly appreciate your time. If you missed us live, blogtalkradio.com/Chris Stevens on air, iTunes, All Subjects Everything, same thing for Stitcher Mobile. We'll talk to you guys tomorrow. Enjoy the rest of your Monday. Y'all be good or be good at it.
Last night, so I went to the club. Put on a fresh white suit and a mini coat, sitting on dubs. I'm just looking for somebody to talk to and show me some love.
Show me some love.
If you know what I mean. Everybody jacking me as soon as I stepped in the spot. 200 bitches in the building, ain't none of them hot. Except for this pretty young thing that was working all the way at the top.
Shouted, what is her name?
Ooh, she made us drink. We drunk and
got drunk,
and man, I think she thinks I'm cool. She gave me a wink, I winked back, and then I think that we hit it off something proper
like.
I put some brand new 24s on a brand new ride. Triple shot of Patron on the rocks with a little bit of lime.
I'm just keeping it real.
Baby, still working at the club, so I'm getting in free. Wednesday night, I'm on the list,
T-Pain plus three.
Every time I hit the spot, baby girl, taking care of me.
How do you think I feel?
She made us drink to drink. We drunk and
got drunk,
and now I know she thinks I'm cool. She gave me a wink, I winked back, and then I think that we gon' have fun at my spot tonight.
Cool,
he made us drink to drink. We drunk and
got drunk
and